Welcome to the Living Word with Brother Bob Russell from Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Today's Living Word message is tape number 2754, A Reason to Lead and Follow, from the sermon series 1 Peter, Finding Your Way in a Whatever World. If you'd like information about this or any other Living Word sermon series, give our toll-free number a call. It's 1-800-366-9673. That's 1-800-366-9673. And you can now shop online at livingword.org. All profits from tape sales are used to purchase radio time to spread the Living Word around the world. And now, here's Brother Bob Russell.
Ken Blanchard is a well-known author and motivational speaker. He's best known for his popular book, The One-Minute Manager. But a few years ago, Ken dedicated his life to Christ, and he became convinced that Jesus is the greatest leader of all time, and we would do well to analyze his leadership style and follow it. Blanchard established an organization called Faith Walk, and he now conducts business seminars all across the nation called Lead Like Jesus. His seminars have been well received not just by people in churches, but by Christian leaders in major corporations. We're going to host a Lead Like Jesus seminar at this church on November 18th that will be simulcast to dozens of other locations across the country. David Novak of Yum, Junior Bridgman of Wendy's are co-chairing that event. And they, along with Olivia Kirtley, a Louisville business consultant, will be participating in a panel discussion on that day. In 1 Peter 2:21, the Bible says that Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow in his steps. We believe that Jesus is not just the Savior of our souls. He is a model by which we ought to guide our lives, including our leadership style. About the same time that Ken Blanchard was discovering leadership lessons from Jesus, Jim Collins, a non-Christian, was conducting extensive research for what would become a best-selling business book entitled From Good to Great. Collins analyzed hundreds of companies in an effort to determine what enabled a few businesses to maintain a peak effectiveness for a long period of time. Collins listed as the number one ingredient a level 5 leader. He says there's somebody at the top of the organization whom everybody trusts and whom everybody rallies around. And surprisingly, he found that the most effective long-term leaders are not larger-than-life saviors with big personalities that overwhelm people like Lee Iacocca. Collins says they are quiet, humble, reserved, gracious, mild-mannered, self-effacing, not demanding center stage. But when Christian people read that book, they are immediately struck with the fact that the level 5 leader that Collins describes looks a whole lot like the same leader that Ken Blanchard had been discovering in his study of Jesus. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that the Bible had it right from the very beginning. After all, it's authored by the one who designed us, and it's always going to have the wisest counsel, including what makes an effective leader. But there's another side of the coin which business leaders have not yet emphasized. The Bible doesn't just talk about what makes great leaders, but it talks about what makes great followers, and that's more important. Because while most of us lead occasionally in some limited sphere, all of us are called upon to follow frequently. We follow a whole lot more than we lead. You might be a teacher in an ABF class, but you're just a gopher at work. You might be the quarterback of the team, but you're just a student in the classroom. You might be the CEO of the company, but when you get home, you follow your wife's lead. And we all follow on occasion, but there aren't many books, not many seminars about how to be a good follower, because it's not as glamorous. It is a very rare person who can be a level 5 leader in one area and a level 5 follower in another area. But that ought to be our goal as Christians. So let's look at the final section of our study through 1 Peter. Chapter 5 talks about both the leaders and the followers in the church. Here are God's instructions about how to be godly leaders and godly followers. Verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Notice, God designed that spiritually mature leaders, the elders in each congregation, would be the overseers of the church. That's taught in the book of Acts, taught in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. The church elders are to be shepherds of God's flock that is entrusted to their care. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Peter later calls him the chief shepherd. That means the elders in the church are assistant shepherds or under shepherds. So I try to avoid saying the Southeast Christian Church is my church, because it's not my church, it's God's church. And you're not really my flock, you're God's flock. And I'm relieved about that sometimes. Maybe say, Lord, one of your sheep's asleep in the fourth row right there. See if you can wake him up. But as one of the elders here, I'm an under-shepherd. And one day I'm going to have to give an account to God about how I have pastored you. We have 14 lay leaders in this congregation. And Daystone and I are considered paid elders whose responsibility is preaching and teaching according to 1 Timothy 5. Now, the lay shepherds are elected for 3 years, and after serving 2 terms, they must sit out 1 year. The godly shepherd has a threefold responsibility to the flock. The first is to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Remember the 23rd Psalm? David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And the picture there is of a sheep that has had so much to eat, he's contented, and he just rests in the lush pasture. It's the task of the elders of the church to make sure that you are fed the Word of God. So this church places a high value on teaching and preaching the Bible. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if the three preachers in this church start preaching just social issues, psychology, it's the elders' responsibility to take us aside and say, let's get back to the book. Let's feed people the Bible. The good shepherd also has a responsibility to protect the sheep. In Acts, the 20th chapter, Paul told the elders at Ephesus, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. The elder has to protect the church against external adversaries that would threaten the well-being of the church. Sometimes the elders have to say, no, we can't have that guy in to be a speaker. He's a good talker, but his theology is too far off. But more often, the danger comes internally. An ABF teacher starts teaching that Jesus isn't really God in the flesh, or a member of the church starts undermining the credibility of a staff person because of vicious gossip, or a staff person falls victim to immorality or divisiveness, and the elders have to step in and take action to protect the flock. Now, that doesn't happen very often, but it does on occasion, and you need to know that there's a discipline committee among the elders who handle those situations. And the good shepherd has a responsibility to guide his sheep. In verse 3, Peter says, the shepherd is to be an example to the flock. The good leader leads by example, not by directive. Sheep are not effectively driven. They scatter when you try to do that. And sheep follow the shepherd they have confidence in. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I've read that in the first century, a number of shepherds would bring their sheep into a common fold at night where they'd be protected by a fence, protected from the predators at night. And then in the morning, the various shepherds would come to the gate and they would just call out to their sheep, and the sheep that belonged to them would follow them out into the pasture. The good shepherd leads by example. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Simon Peter, in this 5th chapter, lists 4 motivations for the good shepherd. First, in verse 2, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. To be an elder is a tedious, time-consuming task. There are long meetings, and there are difficult decisions, and sometimes there are heated disagreements. Why would anybody want to do that? The reason that some are willing to serve is because they love the Lord, and they love the church so much, and they feel they're gifted to lead, and they want their life to count. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Not because you must, but because you're willing. And not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Sam Walton drove around in a pickup truck. He wasn't chauffeured around in a limousine. And people didn't have the impression that he was living in luxury while they were just making meager salaries. That's probably one of the reasons he was able to lead for a long time. The most effective leader doesn't exploit people. Jesus was the greatest leader of all time. He said, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. That's one of the reasons that we're part of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That organization, established by Billy Graham, sets appropriate guidelines for the salaries of church staff. And he says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. You're to be an overseer, not an overlord. A few years ago, Scott Paper Company hired an ego-driven leader named Al Dunlap. According to Business Week, Dunlap personally accrued $100 million for 603 days of work. That boils down to $165,000 a day. And after selling the company and pocketing his quick millions, Dunlap wrote a book about himself in which he trumpeted his nickname, Rambo, in pinstripes. Now, a Rambo leader, a heavy-handed leader, can intimidate people into action temporarily. But the long-term effective shepherd motivates people by love and example, not by force or threats. Peter himself models that when he writes here. He doesn't say, I demand this of you as the chief apostle, as one of Jesus' three favorites, as the one who received the keys of the kingdom. No, he says, I appeal to you as a fellow elder, one who witnessed Christ's sufferings. You follow Christ's example. And the leader serves not for the approval of men, but for the reward of God. Verse 5 says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The good leader is worth following because he has a higher purpose in mind than pleasing people. And in the church, the good leader is trying to do the will of God, not to please men. The Apostle Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Now, in a large church like this, it is not possible for all of you to know all of the elders. But I want you to know the lay elders in this church take their responsibility very seriously. And I think one of the reasons that God has blessed this church is that we've had elders who serve to do God's will, not just to please people. But I also want you to be aware that there are hundreds of others in this church who lead with that same kind of spirit in various ways. For example, Christine Davis has created an organization recently called Designed to Shine. She teaches young women how to know God's will and live as they were designed by their Creator, something that she did not have growing up. And Christine leads with such passion and dynamic personality that she's having an amazing impact on young women, not only in this community, but really now across the country. Diane Cornwell is a nationally acclaimed tax consultant. She was the national partner in charge of the not-for-profit tax practice for one of the big four firms before she adopted two little girls from China. Since she's a single parent, Diane decided to leave the firm because she wanted to be available to lead at home. But her one leadership role that comes above all else is coaching a Bible Bowl team for her oldest daughter and 20 elementary school children. Now, beginning with verse 5, Simon Peter turns the focus to the godly follower. Young men, in the same way, in the same spirit, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Notice, a good follower is one, first, who is humbly submissive. There are two extreme reactions when it comes to following a leader. On the one hand is cynicism, an arrogant distrust of all leaders. On the other hand is idealism, a naive worship, blindly following a leader with no thought of where they're going. That's how Jim Jones led 1,000 people to commit suicide in Guyana. But in the center is realism, following imperfect leaders for the sake of our perfect God. This is a recognition that, well, this leader isn't perfect. He's called of God. He's gifted. He's sincere. He's following God's will. And a good follower doesn't resent not being the leader. The good follower doesn't sabotage the leader's direction. He has an eager, submissive spirit that is contagious. You see, a discontented follower who mumbles and ridicules the leader behind his back can dampen the spirit of the organization and create division. On the other hand, few things reinforce a leader and strengthen an organization like respected followers who give evidence of support. It's kind of intimidating to stand in front of this church and look out over this audience and you see dynamic leaders, principals, owners of businesses, presidents, coaches, sales managers. And one of the reasons our church has been blessed is that many of you who were strong leaders elsewhere in the community have been willing supporters of the direction of this church. A quality participant who swallows pride, humbly follows, can stimulate enthusiasm and can elevate the leader's performance. The movie, Remember the Titans? Had a high school that hired the first black coach in the county. The assistant coach, who was white, wanted that job. And now he was in a position to undermine the new coach or to humble himself and be an enthusiastic follower. In time, that coach chose to be a positive supporter of the new coach, and the result was racial harmony, a winning season, and a great example to the community. You see, a level 5 follower is somebody who swallows pride, and God says, when you do that, I'll lift you up in due time. A good follower is also one who is divinely strengthened. Verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. A level 5 follower isn't always dumping personal problems and anxieties on other people. Now, I know the Bible says we need to cast our burdens on the Lord, but it also says share your burdens with each other. And sometimes we need to have 2 or 3 people we share our concerns with. But a constant fretting about the future or ongoing complaining about personal concerns can be draining on the morale of an organization. Remember in the Bible when the 12 spies returned from checking out the promised land? And they said to the Israelite people, oh, it's a beautiful land, the promised land, but the soldiers there are huge. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and the cities are well fortified. We can't do it. And they wandered in the wilderness for years because some important followers couldn't cast their anxieties on the Lord. Now, maybe it's because we've done a poor job of communicating, but I have detected more murmuring and more anxiety spreading in the last 2 or 3 months in this church than I have for a long time. So let's talk about that. I'm hearing murmuring that Saturday night service is going to undergo dramatic change. That's not true. I'm hearing anxieties that we're going to completely dismiss Wednesday night meals and programming forever. That is not true. We plan to conduct 6 weeks of in-home Bible studies on Wednesday night in January and February of next year. And after that 6 weeks is over, we will return to normal programming. Now, we'll do our best to communicate with you. You do your best not to cast your anxieties on each other. Okay? Lord, they're your sheep. Also, a good follower is one who is fully engaged. Verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. And Peter knows what it's like to let the leader down because he wasn't alert to Satan's schemes. Remember the Last Supper, Jesus said, Peter, you be alert. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Peter said, oh, not me. I'll be okay. But he got out there and Satan stalked him and attacked him and downed him before he knew what hit him. And Peter felt terrible. So he warns us, take the adversary seriously. The stakes in which you're involved spiritually are high. Eternal destinies, family well-being, children's future, the future of the nation. So don't be lukewarm. Don't just be a weekend Christian. Get intense. Start living your faith out every day. Kick those sin habits and be fully engaged. A good follower who is intense can make a huge contribution to the whole group. Mike Krzyzewski decided several months ago to remain at Duke University as the basketball coach instead of taking the head job for the professional Los Angeles Lakers. He said that he was influenced in part by an email from a Duke student, Andrew Humphreys, a 19-year-old biology major. And Humphreys recounted in his email childhood memories of playing basketball in his driveway and pretending to hit the shot that won the national championship for Coach K. He spoke of the pride he felt in being a part of the six-man student body at Duke that fills Cameron Indoor Stadium to root for the team. And Humphreys closed his message with the impassioned plea, "Please still be my coach." Krzyzewski said that Humphreys' email had moved him to tears and reminded him of the special bond he felt with the Duke students and his players. So the coach chose to turn down a $40 million a year contract and to stay at Duke, influenced in part by the petition of a student who didn't play on the team and whom he didn't even know. Just one impassioned follower can make a big difference. Hundreds of impassioned Christian followers following Christ can create an incredible revival in the church and make a huge impact on a community. So be fully engaged. And a good follower is mutually inspired. Verse 9, Peter says, "Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." If you know that other people have gone through it, it inspires you to stand firm. I'm sometimes tempted when preaching to skip over a passage of the Bible that is going to be politically incorrect. But then last week I heard about a preacher in Denmark who was arrested and imprisoned for a month just because he read the Bible passage about homosexuality to his church. And I'm inspired to stand firm in the faith. I'm tempted to retaliate to criticism until I read about a young Christian woman in Pakistan who had acid thrown on her face simply for being a Christian. And she's forgiven her attacker and she retains her joy. I'm tempted to complain about some of my minor physical ailments. But then last week I hear Heather Bland's testimony about 150 operations and $750,000 indebtedness to medical bills, and I realize my problems are minuscule in comparison. There are brothers and sisters all over the world enduring a lot more pressure and pain than we are, and yet they're standing firm, and we need to be inspired by them. And one other thing, a level 5 follower is eternally motivated. Verses 10 and 11 read, "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Colossians, the 3rd chapter, says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. So children, obey your parents, even if they never praise you, because you're serving a heavenly Father who one day will reward you. Wives, respect your husbands, even if they are insensitive to you, because you're honoring the groom of the church, and he notices and will reward you. Students, respect your teachers, even if they never learn your name, because you seek to please the rabbi who will one day acknowledge your effort. Employees, make your supervisor look good, even if he or she is harsh, because God is keeping separate books and preparing an ultimate reward. Citizens, respect those in government authority positions, the police included, not because they never abuse you, but because they have been appointed by the Lord, and you honor him when you respect their authority. Church members, be willing to defer to the leaders of the church, not because you agree with everything, and not because they're more intelligent than you, but because you honor the Lord as the chief shepherd, and you respect his delegated authority. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you." In July of 1976, 103 Israelis were held hostage at the airport in Entebbe, Uganda. Many of you could remember this story. You may recall that the Israeli commandos made a daring raid at Entebbe to free their fellow citizens, and in less than 15 minutes, the Jewish soldiers had killed all 7 of the kidnappers and set 100 of the captives free. As successful as that raid was, however, 3 of the hostages were killed during the raid. When the commandos entered the airport, they shouted in Hebrew, get down, crawl, crawl. And the Israeli captives, who knew Hebrew, immediately hit the floor, while the guerrillas, who did not speak Hebrew, were left standing. But 2 of the hostages hesitated, didn't obey the order, and they were also gunned down and killed. One young man was lying down on the floor and stood up when the commandos entered the airport, and he too was shot by the bullets meant for the enemy. Had those 3 heeded the soldier's command, they would have been freed with the other 100 captives. To be a good leader or a good follower is sometimes a life and death matter. We are all taken captive by sin and held hostage by Satan, but Jesus Christ came into the arena of this world to rescue us. He gave his life on the cross to save us, and he said, "Now he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." And if you are willing to humble yourself and be submissive to his command, in due time he will lift you up. Now I know. We live in a world where an increasing number of people are saying, whatever, it doesn't matter, just do whatever you please. But I really hope our study in 1 Peter has reminded you that there is a reason to live and to love and to hope and to serve and to be obedient. There's an eternal reason, because we serve a God who cares for us and will one day reward us eternally. And Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me."
You have been listening to The Living Word with Brother Bob Russell from Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Today's Living Word message was tape number 2754, A Reason to Lead and Follow, from the sermon series 1 Peter, Finding Your Way in a Whatever World. If you'd like information about this or any other Living Word sermon series, give our toll-free number a call. It's 1-800-366-9673. That's 1-800-366-9673. And you can now shop online at livingword.org. The Living Word is a listener-supported program. Thank you for your continued support. And please listen again next time for another...